All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the goodness and kindness you've shown us in Christ Jesus, the wonderful fullness of your Holy Spirit that really does give peace, love, and joy in our lives. And we ask tonight to be taught by you. Lord, we come tonight, much to learn. I think for Christians who've never experienced victory, what a strange chapter this is for them, but we've had great victories here. So may the wonderful truth of your word cause us to be stirred up and to praise and glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So one of the keys coming out of chapter 4 as we study this, the key was Deborah was hearing from God. And the Holy Spirit took us aside to remind us what it means for us to be a living church, to be alive by the Holy Spirit with living works and not dead works, not a Sardis type of experience. But in this look at what Deborah heard God, Barak went, God did this. And I like the song tonight because what happens in chapter 5 is we get some of the behind the scenes. You know, anytime a song is written about what happened, it's poetic. I think that's important enough for us to understand. But in the poetic language, it gives a little deeper experience of what was happening. I love how when we read the word, Paul, by the time he's writing to the Corinthians, both first and second letters, you get a lot of personal account of his trial and what it meant and the cost of him serving God. It's great stuff to really hold us there. But tonight's it's a victory chapter. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, "Praise ye the Lord for avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves." We begin tonight, and again, I'm using two versions tonight, because you know what happens in a song? You know what happens with songs, psalms, and proverbs? They're the most difficult thing to translate into English. Have you ever looked at the Proverbs and you lay out about four or five different English translations, especially when you're trying to figure out these animals? What is it, a spider? Is it a salamander? Are you like, which is it? And nobody really knows what the animal was. So they're looking for these words in English. But I just pulled up many translations today, but again, my favorite, New King James. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, "When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord." So I wanted to put it together, praise ye the Lord, and then ends with bless the Lord. But in between here, there's this wonderful truth. And again, the King James says avenging of Israel. And I looked the words up, and it's two words that they come into one word. But again, leaders lead is a very accurate description of what it is. But I also like this truth, as the translators of the King James took with this, that God... leaders in that context, when they were oppressed by the enemy, they were to rise up and they were to take vengeance upon God's enemies. Remember, this is victorious. And we come to this tonight, if we would emphasize chapter 4 was hearing from God, chapter 5 has to be with actually responding to God's working in our lives. If we're very honest about this. And all I know is when 10,000 foot soldiers, and we're going to find out in the song, they weren't weaponized. Maybe they had ox goads, maybe some sticks. Think of David facing Goliath. And Goliath even mocks him. What am I, a dog? You come at me with a swingy thing? He didn't call it that. But you come at me with sticks, or you come at me with... He says, "No, I come at you in the name of the Lord our God." Now, when I lay this forth in this way, what God has been working with us and what we're to learn from this is we were to remove our perception of whom God speaks to. That's chapter 4. That's, we need to hear what the Spirit says. We need to operate in that. And so I've set us to praying, and we did this week of praying, and we if I don't get too long-winded, we're going to pray even more tonight. But I have a couple things that I really want to encourage you in. When you pray and when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, get up and do it. Okay? Get up and do that. That's the part where Barak was slow to go. And I don't know, that's that part. He was slow to go, but he went. And I think that's a good part. We'll repeat that when we get to Gideon, so don't worry tonight if the Holy Spirit doesn't cement that one in there for you. When we get to chapter 6, you can repeat that all over again. And you're slow to go. We find that God did this. And this is my word to us. God did this. God did this in chapter 4. And again, in your notes there, margin, if you take notes, or just say, maybe you have the Bible memorized. And I could just say Acts 5:32 and we could just move right on. But the Bible describes how, think of Acts 5, that's Ananias and Sapphira. That's in the early church, when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they died for it. Which is an interesting understanding that now we get maybe so casual, but we shouldn't be so casual, especially when we've been walking in what not just hearing what the Spirit said. Now let me recap for you is what we come through. To hear what the Spirit has said. Okay, then to be led by the Spirit, and as you have that, and then the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. And if you want to know really where this is going, it's you should be filled with the Spirit. So I think if I would say to you tonight, taking Ephesians 5:17, do not be drunk with wine, and I could then teach all of you in church to follow the instructions of the Scriptures. And I could say unto you, you're commanded to not be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine. But the moment that I would then take the second half in the same grammar, but I would say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, there might be an objection to that. You can't command me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but yet, don't be drunk with wine. Like, yeah, that's a good idea, right? But would we be as quick to say, to be filled with the Spirit, that I could command all of you that you're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:17-18. It's not really you can be picky and choosy on the commands, but back to Acts 5:32. Who looked up Acts 5:32? So that the Holy Spirit was witness of those things, or no, the apostles were witness. Oh, how does it go? Nobody looked it up. Oh, you got it. She gets me. Acts 5:32. That's my wife, by the way, for those of you online. Acts 5:32 says, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Now we come through to chapter 5, and just again laying it forth in this way that the Spirit of God was promised unto the apostles, that the Spirit would come upon them after Jesus went to heaven, and he would come upon them and they would be witnesses unto Jesus in Fargo, North Dakota, and then into, you know, Tijuana, Mexico, and then to the uttermost parts of Michigan, right? The uttermost parts of the earth, the UP, if you will. I've been playing with that. But I lay this forth for us. This is the chapter. This is the chapter where they obeyed God. The Spirit did all this. God did this. And if I could then exhort and encourage and strengthen you tonight from taking Judges 5, and we're going to get through this song, but I also need you to see something. We have been the benefit of Jesus' great victory. Okay? If I can put that thought into your mind, two of them tonight, that you're commanded to be Spirit-filled. Okay? You're commanded to be Spirit-filled as much as you might then say, I get the command to not be drunk with wine. Every Christian should have that, or every leader, whatever you would say. And then the second part to that is the great victory that we have in Jesus. His victorious power over death. His gift of eternal life. His victory over the enemy. So maybe it starts out in verse 2 and you want to put both versions together. Praise ye the Lord, and then you end with bless the Lord. When leaders lead, that's accurate. When leaders lead, and then another one, the people offered themselves willingly to the Lord. Now if you hold that in 2, this is a song. And they go through the next thought and then it comes back and repeats in 9. So this is actually your chorus. So this is the part of the songs that we sing all the time. That's why I'm repeating it again. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, Give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. New King James. Hear, O kings. Give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Now, here we are. Twice a week, we give opportunity for that. And yet, it might be that you don't come with any more elevated thought on a Sunday or a Wednesday that I came tonight to give the Lord praise, and I'm going to declare to all the principalities and powers in the universe, in the spiritual realm, and anyone who will listen to me, I'm going to declare the praises unto God for his great victory that he has granted us. See, and you might say, yeah, who could maintain that? Or, he's just too weird. He's always excited, or he's praising the Lord, or he's always... Now again, your command is you need to be Spirit-filled, or you should be Spirit-filled. The actual scripture is be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you thought about this, and I got to go here, literally it is being filled. So you can't say, oh, I was filled with the Holy Spirit last year when we got together. And yet your life obviously isn't any more excited or concerned about praising God for his wonderful victory that he's granted you in your life. And we've had a good week of prayer. And as this is placed right in the middle of this, and we did something on our first night in prayer as I caused everybody's eyes to get off of themselves and simply to adore and glorify and praise and put God first, even in thoughts, and again, praising and doing all those things. And I guess when you experience a great victory over the enemy, these are the things that come out. Deborah and Barak. Oh yeah, most people just say it's Deborah's song. I don't know how Barak gets left off, except maybe because he's second, or I don't know, maybe because Miriam had a song and she was a prophetess, and then Deborah's a prophetess and she has a victory song. Oh yeah, Barak, he had the victory too. Okay. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heavens dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Now, something important is happening here in the song. Is they're remembering a very distinct time when God came down. It's a reference to him coming down upon Mount Sinai. It's a reference to God. And they even give the path how he came. I'm guessing that that's how, when they saw the glory of God come, and as the Bible says that the glory of God was upon Mount Sinai, and when they were down below looking up at the glory of God, it was like a fire, like consuming the mountain, and then seeing the glory of God. And so these songs are great. And now again, Spirit-filled. Again, a song. Where's your emotions, your expressions? Where's your joy? Where's your victory? Victorious and glorious people don't say, Lord, I praise you and thank you. And okay? I don't care what culture you came out of, right? I just took a phone call today and it's like, yeah, we know this is culture, but are you reading your Bible? See, and what I'm presenting unto us is the command to be Spirit-filled. I really think Deborah and Barak are Spirit-filled in this song, if I could just play with that tonight. And as I encourage you along the way, they remember a time when God came down and he had a powerful presence upon the earth. The earth trembled. Mountains melted. And then in 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, right, he was the previous judge. In the days of Jael, the current woman who killed Sisera, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers walked through the byways. Or in our terminology, man, it's getting bad out there. Isn't that how we talk with one another as Christians? Did you read the news? Did you hear about this? And we just go right through the list of, it's getting dangerous out there. That's in the song. In that day, again, they were days of oppression, but they stayed off of the main routes. They stayed off of the highways, and they traveled the byways. They didn't occupy because it was dangerous. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? And again, that's how they weren't weaponized. So don't think of Deborah here like, you know, like that she's, you know, exalting herself with this statement, because she's not. And she sees these things. And remember, she heard from God. And I'm going to offer something up now, because I do believe that this leads us to where we really need to understand is it's time to pray. If you're seeing these things, if you're seeing the danger, you're seeing the trouble, you're seeing the oppression, you're seeing the rise of evil, maybe you're in your environment, you're more aware now of just evil spirits and activity. Again, whatever it might be that you're looking at, that we've been called upon by God to cry out to Him. This was the theme as we started. So we wouldn't live like the world, but also for us to cry out as we see the church or the people of God, or even where we live, worshiping false gods. And this is a part of what Deborah sings about. She saw the rise of they chose new gods. It's a reference to gods that their fathers didn't know in Egypt. And so these are new gods that they weren't worshiping and serving them in the past, and now they chose them, and that brought war right in the gates, and they had no way to defend themselves. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Or again, I'm going to read verse 9, the refrain. Again, we're back to the same thought. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Now, the first part of the refrain was the people offered themselves willingly and the leaders led. And now it's like the leaders offered themselves willingly. Wow. I don't know if there's much more to say other than we all have that choice of will we offer up our lives. I mean, Holy Spirit's been pleading with us this last 6 months as we began this year. And will you join my work? Will you join my work? I don't know how many times we heard Him just pleading with us, will you join my work? Verse 10, speak ye that ride, I'm going to read it out of the, I don't want to say that word, so I'm going to read it out of the New King James. Speak you who ride on white donkeys, who sit in judges' attire and who walk along the road, far from the noise of the archers among the watering places, there they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts for His villagers in Israel, then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. Now you notice in that refrain in 9 that leads into 10, that Deborah, she wasn't just about, I'm the leader, listen to me. She actually caused, and this is what I want to put in front of us. When in that time frame, when she rose up and she began to judge and she started hearing from God, she took an interest in the governors of all the places in Israel. She took an interest in the leader. She took an interest in what others would be doing, and we can learn from that. So when she talks about, they shall recount the righteous acts of the Lord. And that's part of that stirring that up. The righteous acts for His villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord shall go down to the gates. And that was a call to restore righteousness and justice. So when she established that they're hearing from God and she heard from God and she's judging, then she puts that into all the city gates again, that you can come and you can have your righteous judgments, and she stirs up the governors, the leaders. And then 12, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, sing a song, arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Binoam. In the King James, yeah, awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song, arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive. I'm like, that's in Ephesians, and I'm like, that's a reference to Christ coming, and He led captivity captive. And I set your eyes to, I don't know how you looked at Judges chapter 4, and like, oh, yeah, nice chapter. Right? But for those that were there, and they're going to recount, and they're going to acknowledge, this was God's mighty work. I don't know if you've ever been involved in something where you know it was God, and we're not just talking some small little thing like, you're at Krispy Kreme and you need a parking spot and you're asking God for a parking spot right up front so I can get that free donut as they come right off the hot conveyor belt. Lord, can there just be a spot? Now, I'm talking victory over the enemy, maybe on that behalf of a soul for another. Now, I'm going to hint at this now because I believe this is what's happening for us, is we are to be spirit-filled for prayer. And again, if I start to teach what saints of old described, what they would say, the spirit of prayer, they would use that phrase of how the Holy Spirit began to plead for other souls. How the Holy Spirit put it into the believers, and they were looking around, and they would search out, and they would pray for salvation. What am I thinking about? When I say prayer of faith, or I say spirit of prayer, I offer up to you Daniel Nash. And when you read that little booklet, and you know what I'm thinking about, how the Spirit was upon him in such a way where he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, he couldn't do anything but cry out for the souls, as Finney would be coming to town in 2 weeks, and he would be crying out for those souls to be saved, and he would get there in advance, and he would pray as much as he could, and he would sometimes he would get kicked out of the room he had rented because he was groaning so much, crying out for souls. Now, I'm here to let us all know time is short. Okay, how short? I don't know, but short. And it's shorter now than when you first believed, and it's nearer now when you first believed. And where we go with this, and I can catch the context of Judges, as we're to be in this world, but not of it, and we're to learn to live our lives not like the rest of the world, well, then how are we to live? And that's where we're studying in 1 Corinthians, how we're to have that wisdom from above. And again, I believe the Spirit of God has been really working on us to have the spirit of prayer, if I'll use that phrase. Okay, to have the spirit of prayer. So I'm just going to use that in verse 12. Awake, awake. Awake, awake. Something at that point in time, and Deborah awoke to what? We got to do something. Awake, awake. And so in the English, the word awake, first mentioned right here in the Bible, awake. Okay, in the English. Now, awake, awake, Barak, or arise, Barak. So how about we wake up a sleeping church? How about as we look at what's going on in our city or North Dakota, and like we think of Valley City, we think of Jamestown, Wahpeton, Devil's Lake, Grand Forks, the ones that we've taken a special Holy Spirit interest into, but here, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, again, as it extends, we've got people in Holly, we've got people in Glendon. We have anybody in Harwood? We got someone up by Harwood. And what's... Is that okay? Argusville. A pirate's second favorite town, right behind Fargo. Right. So, how about this? Was not the men's conference a wake-up call for the men? If we heard it, we could honestly say, awake, awake, O men who are walking in darkness, and get to the light and put on the armor of light. There's two references that are of interest in this context of the great victory. And so when you're singing this song, don't think like awake, awake, and then it just happened. See, this is not for us to misunderstand how the Holy Spirit is. Like one day you're just walking around, and all of a sudden you pick up the Holy Spirit and all these things happen. That's not the way the Holy Spirit is. In fact, he calls us awake and he stirs us awake and he gets our minds, right? And again, what I'm doing is I'm stirring all of you up to get your mind onto being led by the Holy Spirit in prayer, walking in the Spirit as a... And how, remember this, the Spirit helps in your weaknesses. And now tonight, I'm working on along one line, the commandment to be filled with the Spirit. What do Spirit-filled people do versus non-Spirit-filled people do? Night and day difference. Because the Spirit fills them and they go forth to do the things that the Spirit, they're awake. So Ephesians 5:14 on the awake. When I get teaching the Bible, I just keep going. This was supposed to be a quick teaching. Awake, you who sleep. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. The context is that the light exposes the darkness and makes manifest what it is, and whatever's going on, it is to be exposed. This is what happens many times in what we term revival, where the light of the Spirit of God shines into the darkness, and when the Spirit of God in that presence and that light of God shines, they're like, I've got to confess my sins right now, and not in general, I got to be specific. Somehow Oswald Chambers knew to put that into today's My Utmost. I'm glad I could arrange that with him before he died and his wife took over his journal notes and put him on to that for today. And then we could be on this getting awake today. And I'm glad I could do all that. See, at some point, it has to go beyond this for you, not just having the witness of the Holy Spirit, but when the Spirit talks to you and the Spirit fills you, you obey. And then you experience victory. So the call to be awake into the light, so if you think of Ephesians 5:14, awake you who sleep, rise from the dead, and then the instructions come, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is where we pick up from chapter 4 of Judges. The will of God was from Barak to get 10,000 men and get to Tabor, and God's going to deliver the whole army to you, and he's going to destroy them. The promise of victory. But see, what has to happen first? Awake, awake, O Deborah, awake, awake. Arise. And it's a promise that he's going to have victory to lead captivity captive. This is for us to be stirred up unto this truth. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the command is, be ye filled with the Spirit. Right? Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. 5:18. Now, when I come to this, and in this way, as I lay this out in... I don't have an outline, and I don't have a plan. We're going to read this, and we're going to let the Spirit of God, again, fill us. If he doesn't fill us, we're just going to keep going on in our daily life doing, well, a lot of meaningless things, honestly. But if we're filled by the Spirit and we understand, so he gives wisdom, he gives understanding, and we understand what God's will is. When you're drunk with wine, you're self-willed and all you say, I just can't wait till I have another drink so I can go and do what I want to do with that. And in much the same way, that contrast, but it's comparing it, says be filled with the Spirit. Then you become so minded for that command to be filled with the Spirit that you start to explore, what does it mean for me to be filled with the Spirit? And again, the command is for me to be filled with the Spirit. And how does this come to you? It's very simple. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you have a command to be filled with the Spirit, and then you're told that you can get the Holy Spirit through prayer, what kind of a God would say, I'm sorry, you don't get the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine what that, like you're commanded? Like your command is to love one another as Christ loved the church, and then God gives you commands you can't obey? That would be like a tyrant, like maybe of the worst kind, who would give you commands that are absolutely impossible for you to obey. And so, again, you don't find the filling of the Holy Spirit just laying around. Oh, oops, I picked up and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. No. You receive the command and you start getting your mind thinking upon what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And then a question that I've asked before, why do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I can ask Deborah and Barak in verse 12, why do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We have an enemy that's overtaken them, and they need victory. Now, again, men's conference, the wake-up call. The second one was Romans 13. And I find it interesting enough to, talk about it a lot again tonight. Armor of light. I'm going to go out on a limb and let you know Deborah and Barak were in the armor of light. How do I know that? Victory. When I called all the pastors up in that morning and I said, if any of you have anything you need to confess that are in darkness to come to the light, get to the light now because I need you to be in the armor of light because you need to help all of your men. Remember that? So Romans 13, It's, where's the sleepy verse? There it is, 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And then the call is to walk properly. And again, the call to not be drunk. I think it matches very well. Not works of the flesh, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh. You mean to tell me Jesus was filled with the Spirit? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. See? Now, awake, awake, Calvary Chapel, Fargo. Right? Awake, awake. Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Oh, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:19 says that we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing. I wonder if there'd ever be a time when our entire church would clap, when we're all clapping, on, like when four people are clapping or five people are clapping, if this room would actually ever end up with all 50 or 60 or 80 people clapping. Huh. How come it doesn't happen here? Do you ever ask yourself what is happening? I do all the time. Right? What is happening? You can laugh all you want. I've been absolutely intrigued by this. We do our men's studies and we're pouring out our hearts in worship. And on the same table, around the table, you've got guys pouring out their souls unto the Lord and worship, and then you got another guy over here reading his phone. And not the study. I'm like, how does this happen in the same body of believers? How does this happen? Okay. All I'm saying, and if you look at 2, you look at 9, the leaders offered themselves willingly and they led. And then the people offered themselves willingly, and then they sang songs about it. These are legendary songs. I mean, these are things. I mean, do you want to be forgotten? Does Calvary Chapel Fargo mean anything to anyone, anywhere in the whole wide world for any time frame or even in heaven? Does it mean anything? Or do you look around you and recognize and say, God doesn't choose many mighty, many noble, many wise after the flesh? We qualify. Let's pray. Right? Let's be Spirit-filled and let's get that Spirit of prayer. And you get moved by the passion of the Holy Spirit to live your life in a particular way. I would be far more like if I had to restrain you from all clapping your hands and in the songs, like, wow, I couldn't hear myself. See, what I'm laying forth, this is victory. Barak led the captivity captive. He made them that remained have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. You hear what that is? That's power over the enemy. That's power over a mighty enemy. Now, that's a pretty mighty enemy. Right? Is that formidable enough for everybody to, like, you look at that? And if you could imagine, right, that those who die apart from Christ are tormented in hell for all of eternity, and yet if you could have a telescope that could look into hell and you could see specific people suffering at the hands of the enemy and tormented while you're here on earth, and then you could look up into heaven with a telescope and you could see the joy. We sang about heaven tonight. We sang about no more tear, no more crying. Those things are all gone. And you could look upon that, and then you're here on the earth, and then you see that you, by the Spirit's influence upon your life, could change anyone from here on earth from not going to hell, but they could be with you in heaven one day. That type of Holy Spirit interest in what is God's will. Now, I'm just introducing the thought to you tonight, and I'm not apologizing for doing that to you. This is where God wants us to go. He wants us to see the enemy just like Deborah and Barak did. The call was to awake, awake. The call was to arise. It matches. We were of no good to anybody if we as Christians are sinning in darkness. We have to get to the light. We were of no value to anyone else in their soul for all of eternity until we get to the light. And now that we're in the light and we're getting things situated, if you will. God first on a list of one. How about that? There is no second thing. And as we worship and as we pour that out, so much for a short study. Okay. Out of Ephraim there was a root of them against Amalek, after the Benjamin among the people out of Machir. So it's now recounting the victories of which tribe got up and had power over the enemy. Think of the revivals in the past. Now, it's interesting to think, we call them revivals, but maybe it was a time where the people finally cast off the idols and then spirit-filled and then they're seeking God again. We don't know what came before that. Almost what's always before almost every revival? Horrible, sinful, dark, dry, dead time periods. And it seems like then the wind of the Holy Spirit blows upon that deadness, and as we would describe it. But these are things that we can actually obey the command. Don't think, well, once I'm spirit-filled, I'll obey the command to be filled. You know how crazy that is? That's like saying that I'll get saved, I'll obey the command to get saved, to repent and believe the gospel. I'll do that once I've believed the gospel. We're not Calvinists here. I mean, we don't twist the doctrines of Scripture. You need to understand something. Every human being is a moral agent made in the image of God. That moral agency has its ability to... you can receive a command. You may not like the command. I can go up to a stranger on the street and I can say, God has commanded you to repent and believe the gospel. And as a moral agent, they can interact with that. They don't need the Holy Spirit to get them to interact with that command. But the Bible teaches that when one turns and obeys that command, the Holy Spirit's right there. In much the same way, the command is to be filled with the Spirit. And I've been pleading with the men to get back to that Saturday night prayer. And what kind of Saturday night prayer? The spirit of prayer or the prayer of faith. Not the I need a parking spot at Krispy Kreme to get my donut. I'll use an absurd example, but souls, lives. Okay. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah, and Barak. He was set on foot into the valley for the divisions of Reuben that were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. They didn't come out to battle. They stayed on the other side. They didn't enter. Now, I don't know if you want to be on the sidelines when God has great victory and the Spirit fills us and prayers are answered and God has great victory over the enemy, and do you want him to come to you and say, well, did you consider your ways? Why were you still sitting at home? Why did you not join in the work? Why did you not enter the harvest? So Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Issachar, 16, why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating? Okay, 17, Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. They didn't come to the battle. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. So let's just be honest. Not everybody's going to awake and arise and go. But somewhere there has to be believers who read their word, and then that word gets into them and they receive that command to be spirit-filled, and then the Spirit starts to show them the city that they live in. The babies that are killed on kill day, it's a Wednesday. Every Wednesday is kill day at the murder shop of babies in town. See, and a lot of Christians don't like to be upset. See, but I'll be very honest with you. When you start the spirit of prayer, you're going to be upset all the time. But in a godly way, groaning and like, and again, you find out what they're doing and you find out the sin, you find out the wickedness. And so are you without power? See, and this is where we're at as a church. We've been implored to start crying out for mercy. And you know who's going to pick it up from there? The Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, is going to pick up that in that spirit of prayer. You're going to get focused in maybe on your neighbor, or you're going to get focused in on the churches in town, and you're going to start pleading with God to fill them up again with your Spirit, get them awake. We need help. We're one church. We need the power of God. Okay, so I better keep moving. What do I got? Okay. I keep saying that. The kings came and fought, then fought the kings of Canaan by Tanakh, by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. Look at 20. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. See, and they're acknowledging that when God showed up in Sinai, that's where this song began. And then now their song is, and God showed up today. Let's be honest. We could go do all these activities. If it really was just about doing the activity, we might as well just apply Saul's obedience to our Christian walk. I went on the mission that God told me to go to. Never mind if I obeyed him, I went on the mission. So back to Acts 5:32, we are witnesses of the things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him. And so this implores me to describe unto you our obedience to the command to be filled with the Spirit, that we would rise up and we would see we need God. So God showed up in a powerful way, and they even acknowledged that the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Now, if anybody came to church like that and started their testimony like that, and spirit-filled, and you would say, well, oh, they're just always emotional. Or whatever they might say. But this is the part where is it that the people of God being filled with the Spirit are so moved over these issues that it affects their hearts and their lives, and they've been crying out in prayer? Back to Daniel Nash's book. Do you understand the spirit of prayer? Now, if you can imagine this with me, I'm reading this, and yes, it's poetic. Let it be poetic. Let it reach deeper. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then there were horse hooves broken by the means of the prancing of their mighty ones. God simply supernaturally causes the horses of the chariots to all of a sudden have broken hooves. I mean, all they're saying is God did this. 23, curse ye, morose, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Now, we don't even know where this city is, but in the midst of this, you find out that morose, and again, it's a play on words, I believe, because morose means refuge. Your name is refuge, and you did nothing. Okay, you catch that. And I think it's a time for us. So that's really, isn't that the answer of Sardis? You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. And then the instructions to repent, and the instructions to strengthen that which remains. And why I say it in this way, as we look at how else do you look at five of the seven letters where Jesus is commanding them to repent, and he curses them all if they will not repent. Now, he doesn't use the word curse, but we don't like that word. And we also don't like Ananias and Sapphira. Who likes teaching that Bible study? And if you do, what's wrong with you? Right? I mean, these are the things, like, could you imagine people dropping over dead in church for lying to the Holy Spirit? Great fear came upon all the people. And you know what happened after that? Much more people were saved. And so these are the things that I'm putting before us in this context. Curse ye, morose. And you notice it? the Lord, the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly. And then the blessing for Jael in 24, blessed above women in the tent. She asked for water, she gave him milk, brought him forth butter in a lordly dish. So I know that it was whole milk and not skim. Right? Buttery milk, right? She put her hand to the nail. And again, here's the poetic. When the Spirit comes upon you and you're praying, I mean, he might show you right into somebody's personal issue, and you, for no other reason, you start pleading with God for their soul. Now, why I describe it this way is that when you study history and you read the saints of old who came to this spirit of prayer, and they had prayer of faith, and there are accounts of one man who did more work than he did because he got tuberculosis and he couldn't leave his house, and he began to pray, and he had a list of 30 churches in the surrounding area, and he started to pray for specific people, and he kept a diary of his prayers, and like day after day he's praying, and he's praying for this work, and he starts praying in Ceylon, and he's praying for that country, and these things in his diary, God starts answering his prayers, and those churches awoke. Now, we all know about revival. We've been praying for revival a long time, but we haven't always understood it. We kind of think erroneously that, again, the Holy Spirit for revival is just going to be found laying around and we'll pick them up and we have revival. That's not the way the Holy Spirit does this. You can read this over and over. I see it here. I see it in scriptures, that this call to awake, awake, and they did this. And Jael, she's with the Lord. Meroz is not with the Lord, cursing upon those who aren't with the Lord. You're going to go out and you're going to find all kinds of people who are going to be against you. Shake the dust of your feet off, right? What did our Lord teach? And just move on. But there's going to be others out there, like Jael, blessed. She does the work of the Lord. I have to read 26. She put her hand to the nail, right hand to the workman's hammer, the hammer she smote Sisera. Smote off his head. Got to read that. When she had pierced and stricken through his temples, at her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down at her feet, he bowed, he fell where he bowed, there he fell down dead. It's a great song to sing. Right? You catch the point. When you're turning it into a song, why does it repeat so much? Well, because it's good stuff. God did this. Mother of Sisera looked out the window and cried, why has it taken so long? Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answer, yes. She returned to answer herself, well, have they not sped? Maybe they were slow today. Have they not divided the prey? Oh, they're still busy, you know, distributing the goods. And then this twisted reference here to every man a girl or two. Again, the what would happen in war. To Sisera, a prey of divine colors, diverse colors, needlework, again, all the spoils of war. Maybe it just took too long to divide the spoils of war. No. But the truth is, he's dead. Power over the enemy. Now, I started with us something tonight, and it's this. Do you appreciate the victorious power that you have over sin, death, and hell? Or are you just kind of lulled to sleep? And you don't need to be spirit-filled because wine does it for you, right? Or whatever, you know, just life does it for you. Or do you get so, like, at some point, these things affect you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be on a Wednesday night or a Bible study with you'd be at home doing something else. But you're here. And then when we call for a week of prayer in the middle of summer, I mean, who does that? See, and you show up. Oh, what am I strengthening you in tonight? The commands. If I can get you on to that, you all come and say, my command is to be filled with the Spirit that I might pray. You hear that second part? That I might pray for the souls, that I might pray for the lost, that I might pray for the church, that I might pray for my family members, I might pray for my coworkers, my children, my parents, my cousins, and you go right through the list of who means a lot to you, your students, right? Your coworkers, right? Whatever you start to be affected. And when the Holy Spirit starts to affect you, don't shake it off and say, I shouldn't feel bad. I'm here to let you know you should feel bad about the plight of others. Now, this is not our natural course in our current sleepy Christianity. But this is why the Holy Spirit's waking us up. In fact, our current course, which started to be considered and turned, was back in October with the women's retreat. Now, consider your ways. Very important to see that began that. We hit January with a week of prayer. We hit March, and men got out of darkness. That happened. We were like, okay, we responded. Let's have that outdoor Resurrection Sunday service. I sort of give us a C minus on how we preach the gospel and I mean, sort of honestly. Okay? And nothing wrong with that. We did it. But we're not going to be like Saul that says, I went on the mission of the Lord. I'm watching this, listening to this, knowing what it is. And there, again, some of the people aren't going to be interested. So don't get down on them. Let the Lord take care of that. Some of the churches that came didn't like what we called afterglow at the men's conference, getting the men to the light. I really liked it. Any of the men who were in darkness that got to the light really liked that afterglow? Yeah. Get the darkness out. You're awake. Awake. Now, I took most of our time. What a short study that wasn't. But let's do this between us and the Lord tonight. Okay? Let's do this. I've led you here on purpose. Let's receive the command to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, a wasted life. It dissipates. Whatever short-term feeling you could get, that goes away. But to be filled with the Spirit. And I'll just put Jesus back into your view again. Filled with the Spirit, immediately driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, denying his flesh, fasting, praying 40 days, 40 nights, and when it was opportune, the devil comes to tempt him, throws his best at him, and in the power of the Spirit, he resists sin. That's the part where the church usually turns back. You have this awakening, you come out of the darkness, and you start to walk with that, along comes this temptation, and you go right back. And so for this command to be Spirit-filled is to continue to walk in this. What if we just took this, in order for me to be Spirit-filled, I also must carry with me, I'm not going to sin today. If you took that into today, and when you wake up tomorrow, you take that into tomorrow, and just try it. When I'm tempted today, because when I teach the baptism with the Spirit, I describe the Spirit would be upon you, having greater power over the enemy, greater resistance to temptation, greater power over sin. If that command to be filled is true, then we take it up and you say, I'm not going to sin today. And if I have old sins that I haven't repented of and I know they're there, then today's the day that I don't just confess the sin, but I take that proverb to heart and I forsake that sin. Okay. See how I'm thinking about this? Because if it makes all the difference in the world, our sin and darkness keeps people from going to heaven. Instead, they go, again, remember the telescope, if you could see the suffering. I want you and I want us to be affected and to see this is what God is doing with us. Need to be Spirit-filled unto the Spirit of prayer. There are many in church who aren't filled with the Spirit. They don't have the Spirit. They'll go to church. That happens. I'm not thinking of anybody in the room. I just know that happens. So that's the one thing. So between you and the Lord tonight, between you and the Lord, will you receive the command to be filled with the Spirit? And then between you and me, will we agree together to ask God to awaken us and have the Holy Spirit blow upon the deadness and dryness of our hearts. Romans 13, when I did the wake-up call, the Holy Spirit made one thing abundantly clear. We have been spiritually lazy about souls. Don't anybody sit there and say, well, I'm not. Okay? We have been spiritually lazy about souls. And for God to spend all that time getting the men awake at the men's conference, taking all that time to pleading us with us to join the work, and if we turn back now, I'm going to go pastor somewhere else. Right? Or maybe you'll all leave me. I don't know what'll happen. But I'm not going anywhere. And I don't think you guys are going anywhere. Right? And this isn't a curse or a threat. But can you imagine God putting all this word into us, sowing this, and all this prayer, and all this Holy Spirit, and all these things he's showing us, only to do what? To be like Asher and Reuben and the other tribes who said, I've got something else to do. If you have something else to do, just go do it now. Don't stick around anymore. Okay? That's A-okay. But if the Spirit of God fills you and you're looking at this, and you start, maybe just start with your neighbor. You know your neighbor, or you start with your roommate, Tim and Joseph, right? For them to get saved and be filled. No, okay, right? So, Father in heaven, here we are. And between us and you, each and every one of us individually, we receive the command tonight to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, when we see your Spirit filling Jesus, power over temptation, but then your word declares that he came forth in the power of the Spirit and declared the gospel and with great power. Lord, we have never seen the gospel here with power. So we acknowledge we need this command to be filled with the Spirit. So when we do go out, we go out with power. Lord, raise up a whole church of praying men and women who have the Spirit of prayer come upon them. Lord, I ask. You give command. We believe, we receive. Cause us tonight by the power of the Spirit to have that command be now influenced by your Spirit. We receive the command. We walk in the command. Now send your Spirit to fill us and fulfill and give victory and power. Give us specifics like you gave Deborah and Barak. Give us specific places to go. Give us specific commands. Give us power over the enemy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.